Warning, do not listen to this podcast if hearing about freedom and liberty is not legal for you in your community. And if so, you should immediately move to a hipper community.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Podcast, a weekly web lab where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati cover the punk rockinist, hip-hopinist current events, as well as timeless universal truths about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because there's no such thing as half free. The Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
Welcome to the Vaporsmith's Freedom Hour with Freedom Fiends, Michael W. Dean.
Broadcasting from my windowless bunker.
And Nima Vedati.
Go, go, Freedom Fiends!
Rolling.
Nima Fiend.
What's up?
Nima Fiend.
What's up, Michael Dub Dean?
We had an embarrassing bit of audio impotence today and last week. Do you want to explain it?
Yeah, I'm sorry, fiends. All right, I know you're probably sick of hearing us apologize, but last Sunday I was using the internal mic on the laptop instead of actually recording with, my $100 good microphone and my preamp.
By accident, without knowing.
Yes.
Without noticing.
Yep. Michael was like, why does it sound like there's whispering robots in the background? I'm like, Michael, I'm using the same damn setup I always use. And he's like,
I know, the whole episode I was like mad at you and you're like mad defending what you thought was the same, and I'm like, no, it doesn't sound the same. So
we didn't figure it out until you were like, mute your microphone, and I muted it, and you were like, you're not muting it, and I'm like, yes I am, because I turned my real microphone off, and then I was like, oh wait, there's another microphone that's recording me. Oh shit.
At least we fixed it for the last 10 minutes of the cast of the live.
We had redemption in the third act, so I guess that's good. Yeah.
And then today we tried to do a live streaming cast on our own feed, and people could only hear me. And we scrambled while like a dozen people sat waiting. You know, I was running downstairs, pulling cables out of the back of my TV, plugging them from one computer to the other, and we couldn't get it to work. And it's like, we assumed, because last week it worked with me as the only person, that it would work with both of us, and he'd hear both of us. So, we have work to do behind the scenes of the Fiends before we can do those live, spontaneous Fiends call-in shows.
Yep. More audio kinks to work out. But, I mean...
Ooh, audio kink.
Audio kink, yeah, you like that. You used to be a professional audio kinkster. But...
No, I was a very popular amateur. We didn't make money at that. Well, I guess we did selling the book that we wrote together. You know, kind of like how we don't make a lot of money at this, but we pimp the guns and weed in every movie and every episode, and we sell a few of those. And people can make donations. You can go on the site, and it says help the fiends or donate or something like that. Boy, I don't even know. I should probably check. But
The more support we get, the better it'll be. But, I mean, the thing with this is once we do figure it out, then we can let you guys know how to do a live broadcast with people in two different complete states, you know, different geographical locations, just over the magic that is the internet. We thought we had it sewed up, and it is going to be a pretty amazing thing. But you just got to wait a little bit longer. Sorry.
And, you know, in the meantime, go on to the website. Over on the right side on the freedomfiends.com site, there's a little blue thing with a speaker that says, listen, bookmark that link. Go to that link and bookmark it. It's the Freedom Fiends streaming 24/7 extravaganza of Freedom Fiends Radio. It's every Freedom Fiends episode, almost, except a couple that aren't great. It's almost every Freedom Fiends episode ever. And it's the good Anarchy Gumbo episodes. They're not all good, but they're not all great. It's the good ones. And it's a bunch of music by Nima and me, and by Nima and by me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good times. And
it's a radio show.
One of the amazing things is we don't have to worry about the FCC, so there can be cussing, and we don't have to worry about that in the songs, which I was excited about. So maybe I'll throw a few more your way for you to throw up there, some stuff I'd done.
You can throw them up there. You throw them up there. You
have Sure.
You're the admin, too.
I am.
Yeah.
I don't need your approval. Yeah. I can just throw songs up there.
Yeah, we're getting a thunderstorm here. You'll probably all hear it, but there you go.
Yeah, yep. I remember in Wyoming, you guys get those giant summer thunderstorms.
Well, the thing is, I don't know if it's all over Casper or just at our house, but like many, many times a summer, it looks like the end of the world thunderstorm and little or no rain touches my yard.
Oh, really? See, I remember...
Yeah, I think it's all like up in the mountains.
It would hit us so hard at the news station that often in the summer times, we would like lose power either during a live broadcast or like right before. Like the computers would have to be rebooted and we wouldn't have the video in the tray, you know, the digital tray, so we could play the videos. I remember because of that once, there was no sports video for the sportscaster to talk over. So in sports is so video heavy, right? I mean, you play plays of people, you know, doing stuff, and the sportscaster narrates it. So our sports guy, Corey White, and I gave him a lot of time in sports because I was light on news.
You should have just had little Kobe dolls and he could just act out things when that goes
out. That would have been great.
Or you should have just had it so it automatically cuts to like the, you know, a picture of an American flag and a bald eagle and then like the Freedom Fiends feed playing in the background.
Just clips of people getting kicked in the nuts.
I guarantee, what's that show called? Ow, my balls.
Yeah.
No,
we could have thought of something clever like that, but we didn't realize it till like right before sports. Like we were coming back from a commercial and they're like, there's no video. And so he was already standing there in front of the green screen. He just sort of acted stuff out kind of, you know, and just sort of talked for 7 minutes.
He should have just had some like made up story about like, you know, some brave high school basketball player who went on to be a Marine and sacrificed himself, and his dying words were about his mother and his girlfriend.
He somehow filled that 7 minutes, just him standing in front of a green screen, and we all just sat there and sort of cringed and were thankful that it wasn't
shadow puppets
us. Yeah,
shadow puppets about Jesus.
There you go.
I'm really making fun of TV, especially TV in Wyoming.
Yeah screw TV, man. Who needs it?
Yeah, and I guarantee if you're a statist or you have a friend that's a statist and you, like, make them at gunpoint listen to the Freedom Fiends feed. No, if you, like, turn them onto it, I mean, 12 hours of this and you're an anarchist. I guarantee it.
Yeah. At least I hope so. At least that's the goal. But see, well, I kind of feel like
money back guarantee.
The free money. Yeah. I kind of feel like, though, sometimes the first step is you got to unplug yourself from the statist mentality first, from pop culture, which is dripping with statism.
So I promise if you take 4 hits of LSD and listen for 12 hours to the Freedom Fiends fix, you'll be in trouble. Speaking of which, you know, we talked a bit on the last cast about the possibility that the shooter, James, what's his name? James Holmes.
Yep.
Holmes.
Like John Holmes, but not a porn star.
Yeah, I know. James Holmes.
Rapid fire spray of a different kind.
That he's either the victim of CIA mind control drugs, or that there may have been, you know, he may be a patsy a la, what's the guy's name? Supposedly shot Kennedy.
John on, Harvey on, Oswald.
Lee Harvey Oswald. Dick Cheney? No. Rumsfeld? Rumsfeld? No. The guy who did the shooting was wearing a mask and was all gooned out with bulletproof armor and like you couldn't see his face or anything. They could have sent a shooter in there, shot everybody up, and just, you know, had this guy drugged sitting in a van somewhere and just pushed him out the parking lot and had the local police arrest him.
I suppose that would be possible. I mean, nobody really saw his face because he was all gas masked out, right? I don't know. I guess it's kind of hard to tell. There's a lot of different eyewitness accounts, though.
Well, one eyewitness account said that somebody opened the door for him.
Yeah, I do remember hearing about that.
But it also could have been, you know, he opened the door for himself. Like, you know, I was assuming when I heard he came in the fire door that what happened was he left all his gear in the alley, hid it in the alley.
Went out to get it.
Bought a ticket, went into the theater, and then went out through the fire door, propped it open, and got his gear on and came in and started shooting. But that seems to be unclear, too, what happened. You know, I don't automatically think that this stuff is the government. I just think it could be the government, based on the fact that the government has tried to do things like this in the past, like Operation Northwoods.
Yeah.
And, which is fact.
And the government will benefit from it as well. I mean, cui bono, right?
They're trying to pass this. Yeah, because they're trying to pass the Small Arms, UN Small Arms Treaty, which is going to take away everybody's guns.
Yeah. And I'm guessing one of the reasons you're bringing up that it feels more like that now is his. Are you talking about his behavior in court? You know, everybody's been talking
about his behavior
all day.
In court. I mean, he looked totally drugged and insane, but that would go with either of three theories. That could work with the government drugged him with scopolamine and made him into a robot, or it was somebody else doing the shooting and they drugged him to confuse him to, you know, or he's just crazy and looks that way even after days in jail and not being on drugs,
right.
Or having access to drugs, or that he's trying to fake, you know, he was a neuroscience student. He would know the symptoms of looking crazy if he's trying to mount an insanity defense. So it could be anything.
Yeah. Yeah. The insanity defense thing is definitely a real possibility, and that he wouldn't be the first person to do that. There was a guy we were covering at the TV station in Washington, and he would pee his pants in court, and his defense would always tell the judge about the crazy things he was doing, and it felt like that was a big part of their strategy, was making him go to different doctors and shrinks, and he would just go and act a fool and do crazy things like pee himself and defecate himself and just sit there unresponsive.
Like Ted Nugent did to get out of the military.
There you go. Yeah, yeah.
That patriot Ted Nugent.
Like Ted Nugent did to prevent himself from fighting for our freedoms.
Yeah. Which he now just, like, you know, spends his days humping the military and saying how great they are.
Yeah, yeah.
When he crapped his pants to avoid joining. Yeah.
I hate hypocrisy, man. That's the worst. Like, I much prefer an honest status, which I guess there are a few out there. Somebody who actually believes it, than somebody who's just a hypocrite and is like, well, we can do this, but you can't.
There aren't that many politicians anymore who served in the military. There used to be a lot. There's less now. And as far as I know, there's only one who served in the military and is a dove, not a hawk. That's Ron Paul.
Yeah, yeah.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast. Freedom Fiends is now available for 24/7 streaming to your iPhone, Android phone, or other chromed robot turd. Click on the streaming audio link on freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
I mean, he wasn't shooting at people. He was a doctor, but he was a doctor in combat.
He was, and
know,
I...
So he was being shot at.
Yeah, yeah. Although, I'm not sure. Was he drafted, or did he enlist?
I'm pretty sure he enlisted.
Okay, okay.
As a doctor.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think maybe he enlisted so he could be what he wanted to be and
save lives.
The flight surgeon instead of some kind of grunt.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know. I've been paying a lot less attention to Ron Paul and the whole Ron Paul thing lately. And I think a lot of people have. I mean, I don't really have any numbers on that. It's just sort of a feeling I get. But for one thing... when Ron Paul started running,
I get that feeling too.
You get that feeling too. Well, when Ron Paul started this sort of 2012 bid, you know, Lou Rockwell, who's like buddy and kind of a big proponent of the whole Ron Paul movement, even though Rockwell is a self-proclaimed anarchist, he sort of split off sort of a spin-off blog called Lou Rockwell Political Theater. It was basically just keeping tabs on the Ron Paul campaign and the election in general. And the other day, they actually put the last post up and said, this thing is now defunct. There's no hope in political action, although Ron Paul did hopefully change a lot of hearts and minds. And, oh, yeah, don't vote was the last sentence. So,
who said that?
Lou Rockwell on his political theater blog. He's
awesome.
He's ending the political theater blog, which was following politics, ending that completely. And I guess just sticking with LRC.
I like him. So, yeah, another thing that points to maybe this is a false flag of some kind, the Denver shooting, is that the judge has sealed the case. That happened pretty quick.
That was real quick.
That's weird.
Yeah, and I did see that. There was a little write-up on it in, let's see, what was the website? The Daily something. I'd never seen this one before. Just called The Daily. The thing about it is there's only like three paragraphs in the story, so it's kind of just like a brief. there didn't seem to be any good reasons to seal the case, other than the judge said, or the prosecutor feared that public scrutiny could jeopardize the ongoing investigation. I don't understand how scrutiny can jeopardize an investigation. That seems pretty counterintuitive.
When they don't let you near an investigation anyway, you know?
Right.
Here's my prediction. I think the guy's going to die in jail, in custody. You know, maybe not before he goes to trial, but before it goes too far into a trial. I think he's either going to
hang himself.
Be said to have killed himself.
Yeah.
Or someone's going to beat him. You know, they have him in isolation
because
there are people that want to kill him, I'm sure. But I think they're going to accidentally let, like Jack Ruby with, you know, they let someone get close to him and shoot him. I think he's going to get a dumbbell in the head or be hung in his cell, and they're going to say it's suicide. That's my prediction.
I can definitely see where you're coming from with that, but I kind of feel more like they want to prolong this. I feel like, if this is some kind of false flag, even if it's not, you know, I feel like the government has more to gain from keeping this in the public eye and reminding people about it.
Well, if it's not a false flag, it's totally a don't let a crisis go to waste
situation. Exactly. And I feel like because of that, it's in the government's best interest, in the state's best interest, to keep the trial going, to keep him in the news.
I mean, Mayor Bloomberg is already calling for, like, Obama and Romney to have a debate about this right now.
Not only that, but did you see him on Piers Morgan? There was a YouTube clip floating around where he actually said, well, first of all, Piers Morgan is such a freaking statist. He's from Britain, and he goes, I just don't understand. Whenever there's stuff like this, usually Americans think about it for a while and then they just forget about it. How come they're not calling for more gun control? And Bloomberg basically says, well, what I don't understand is how come police officers in this country don't take a stand and go on strike until guns are out of everybody's hands, pretty much, you know, until there's more gun control. And I'm thinking, I wish, right?
Police would never mass go on strike. I mean, they've tried it in a few cities before, and like,
did they really?
You know, I think the Supreme Court ruled they couldn't do it. But you know, they can also have a sick out where they either call in sick or just kind of don't do their job and sit at the donut shop for 10 minutes before answering a call. You know, I honestly think the reason that they wouldn't do it across the country is because people might realize that
they don't need
much
cops.
Different if they,
yeah.
That's the thing I said. I always say to people with jobs that are like not indispensable is don't call in sick too many days on a fishy job because they might notice that nothing changes when you're gone for 3 days.
That you didn't benefit the situation at all. And I guess when Bloomberg was going off on his rant, he was trying to make the case that, you know, these guys are out here trying to defend you, and we just need to we need to give them the tools to do that. And then he ended with, you know, because whenever there are gunshots, most people are running away, but cops are running towards there. And you know, I think Ben Quaker made the point that, you know, in Columbine, they sat there and waited for the gunshots to stop before they actually did
and
anything.
Then like, in this one, they did the same thing. There were cops in the building. There were secure, like, cops in uniform in that mall, in that theater complex, not in the room where the shooting happened, but, you know, in the lobby or in another theater of the building, because it was such a sold out, you know, they had two or three theaters showing that show, and there's so many people, they decided they needed some cops there to keep people from
mass murdering each other. Good job. That really worked.
Yeah. Another interesting thing that's come up, James Holmes received a $26,000 grant from the Bethesda-based National Institutes of Health, which is where I got my paid government drug experimentation that who knows what it did to me. Remember, I told you
turned you into a fiend?
Maybe. Yeah. Made me hate the government. Well, it was something called anti-steroids. And, you know, steroids tend to turn people into an asshole. So maybe anti-steroids make you really cool.
There you go.
Make you really mellow and not violent and makes your nuts get bigger.
Yeah. Your balls get bigger so you can tell the truth about the state and not cower.
Literally.
Yeah.
I like that. Well, it was something called anti-steroids. I was paid to be there for a week. I was homeless at the time, so I was glad to do it. You know, I was paid like, I don't know, it was like $300 for 8 days of being 7 nights being in there. And, you know, I mean, I went from being homeless to having like a bad 3 meals a day and TV. I loved it. and got $300. It was great. That's how I bought my first bass amp. But
$300 is a far cry from what you're saying Mr. Holmes got. How much did you say was this government grant?
Well, he had some college. I didn't.
Yeah.
I was a homeless person.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they love to test drugs on homeless people. I mean, look at, they've done it without paying them or without their knowledge a lot. It was a stipend that paid his tuition for the highly competitive neuroscience program. He was one of six students at the school to get the grant money. I'm expecting he just spent it on a bunch of guns and bulletproof vests and bombs.
Yeah.
So,
but,
you know,
did you say it was $2,600 or $26,000?
$26,000.
Wow.
You know? And, yeah, everyone was wondering, like, where did this unemployed college student get the money for all this gear?
There it
maybe,
is.
You know, yeah. It was government welfare gear.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. There you go. Let's not talk about gun control. How about we end the welfare programs that allowed this guy to pay for all of his guns?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Worms.
Yeah. Yeah, how about you be a productive member of society who makes your own money so you can buy your own guns, and then you realize that lives are important and you shouldn't just go annihilate them all with your free guns.
You know, the Unabomber was a participant in some mind control experiments at college. I don't think they were paid and they were voluntary. And that's a fact. Nobody knows if it was the school doing it or the government doing it through the school, as they often do. But Ted Kaczynski at Harvard took part in an experiment, kind of like the Milgram experiment, where they turned people against each other.
Uh-huh.
And he later wrote about it and said he was deeply disturbed by it and that it was morally indefensible.
Wow. Wow. And I'm guessing he wrote about it in his manifesto. Was this one of the reasons?
I don't think so. No? I've read that. I don't think he did in there. But he wrote about it, I think, you know, to his brother.
Ah, wow.
Who his brother's the one that turned him in.
Right.
You know, the FBI spent more money than they ever have on a manhunt of a single man. And only finally found him because when they published the manifesto in the LA Times, the New York Times, his brother read it and like noticed some similarities of some phrases that were unique that he'd used.
Right.
And called the FBI.
Right. So what, I guess what you're trying to say is that there's definitely precedent for, sort of the government interfering in somebody's brain, and then whether it's directly related, like the government's trying to interfere to get them to do things or not, it has had an effect on somebody like the Unabomber.
Yep, yep. And we'll talk more about MK Ultra and Operation Dormouse after we pay some bills here.
All right, sounds good to me.
I'm pretending we're live. All right. Worms.
Well, it's good practice.
Hi, I'm Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends podcast, and I'm excited about Vaporsmith's electronic cigarettes. I dig the taste, and I dig the freedom to vape anywhere the nanny staters would wet their pants if I smoked.
Vaporsmiths.com is run by a liberty-loving entrepreneur, not some subsidized tax-eater conglomerate.
I'm Michael Dean of the Freedom Fiends, and I love Vaporsmiths. I smoked 3 packs of tobacco cigarettes a day for decades, but now I'm only using Vaporsmiths. I love the flavors, I don't smell like smoke, and I save money, so I have more to spend on ammo and treats for my kitties.
Available in 4 strengths and 10 delicious flavors. Reds, Classics, Turkish, Menthol, Strawberry, Cherry, Vanilla, Coffee, Minty Mint, and Cloves. Go to Vaporsmiths.com. Use coupon code FREEDOMFIEND to get 25% off your order. This is a limited time offer. Vaporsmiths. At Vaporsmiths.com. You can subscribe to Freedom Fiends via the RSS link on the top right of any page. It's orange and marked follow. Or you can subscribe via email at the subscribe by email link at the top of the right sidebar on any page. It's a little bit below the search field. You'll need to respond to a one-time confirmation email, but after that, you will only receive an email each time a new episode posts. The Freedom Fiends respect your privacy. We will not spam you and will not sell, rent, or share your email address. And you are free to unsubscribe at any time. Check out the Anarchy Gumbo podcast. Michael W. Dean of the Freedom Fiends cooks up a very special blend of liberty, guns, sex, rock and roll, drugs, and thriving in spite of the state in an increasingly worrying world. All with a rotating cast of nifty guests who are also up in the middle of the night. The Anarchy Gumbo Podcast, a tasty stew of freedom and fun. Subscribe at kittyfeet.com. That's KittyFeet.com.
Yeah, yeah.
Rolling.
Yeah. That's what we're doing.
So, you know, one of the things that I heard was interesting was David LaBoy told me that Mike Adams had a good article on LRC about the bewildering passivity of the whole theater full of victims. And I was thinking,
I read that. It was great. Great article.
You know, those things often end with someone who isn't even armed tackling the guy. That's how a few mass shootings have ended.
Right, right. Well, that's how the Giffords thing ended, didn't it? I mean, there was a concealed carry guy who stopped
it. Actually a guy with a gun who was like, he didn't pull, doesn't require a gun. I could just tackle him. But yeah, there was another one in Colorado, I think, or Utah. It was a church shooting a few years ago that was ended by, it was like the linebacker from the local high school, the star linebacker, like tackled the guy.
Nice.
And... You know, but then again, it was a theater full of sci-fi comic fans, people who lived their lives imagining some supernatural hero, Dark Knight of some sort, will save them. And the guy was gooned up and looked like a federal superhero. They just wilted.
Yeah, I suppose so. Man. And that was sort of the angle of the article is, I mean, have we really become a nation that's this passive? I mean, he made the case that the guy with all the gear on, he could have been very vulnerable from behind, probably couldn't have much peripheral vision, could have been attacked from behind. Also, there were reports that his gun jammed because he was using one of the 100-pound drums, and supposedly those are notorious for jamming in the AR-15s.
It did jam, yeah.
That's been confirmed?
I don't know,
okay.
I don't know if he cleared the jam or not, but it jammed at some point.
Either way, that would have been a pause and opportunity for somebody to do something.
He had three guns.
Right.
I don't know, man. My life urge is so strong, and the urge to protect my wife, that if I were like with her and for some reason we were unarmed, which we never are, and somebody started shooting, I think I'd be as likely to rush him and knock him over as I would to try to run out.
Yeah, I suppose it would depend on where I was at in relation to the attacker.
Yeah.
Like if I was on the side or if I could flank him somehow or if I was in the front. Because that's the other thing the article brought up was, you know, there were people that they were laying on the ground and shell casings were hitting their head. So they were like right under him. There was also a family with a baby that he like pointed the gun at, like right in front of him. And nobody did anything, like point blank range. You know, I've never taken any classes, but apparently there is defensive ways of disarming somebody that are fairly simple. If you're like in the person's personal space, like 2 feet away from the person, that can be successful. So, I mean, I guess maybe that was it. Maybe it was just the kind of people who wait in line to see the first showing of a Batman flick. Maybe that was it. I don't know.
Ouch.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to downplay it or say that means they deserved anything like this, but it is sad that it's not in our culture to defend yourself as much as I feel it should be, as much as it is to me. I mean, that's why I carry a gun every day, because of, you know, other attackers and stuff like this, to where I would be in a situation where something like this would help me defend myself.
Well, I mean, even I'm thinking like back to the 50s, like when comic books first started being popular, you know, there were like two kinds of teenage boys. There were like the ones that went out and joined Boy Scouts and were headed for the military and like, you know, or just joined Boy Scouts and would like, you know, whittle a crossbow and go shoot things with it and build stuff with their hands and be outdoors. And the other kind was like the pasty pale boy that would sit in and read the comic books in his room and then occasionally look at the ad in the back and of the bully kicking the sand in someone's face and then order the He-Man self-defense class by mail and not learn anything from it because it was bunk.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, of course, not everybody fits into one or the other category. I kind of did both. I mean, I was into comics, but I also had a BB gun, and I'd go out in the backyard and target shoot or blow things up or run around or play football, you know. But I did love my science fiction and my fantasy. I mean, you can be both.
Yeah, I was kind of both. I I didn't read comic books much, but I read a lot of books, was kind of nerdy, but also, you know, had my dad's 22 and would go out and shoot bunnies with it. And,
yeah,
you know, I did a lot. I was really outdoorsy. I used to go for like, I used to get lost in the woods regularly,
nice.
Intentionally.
Nice. So you could find your way out?
You can always find your way out of the woods in America, which is why, you know, unless you're in Yellowstone or one of the big national or state forests, you know, back east, any woods you're in, if you walk for 2 hours, you're going to hit a road.
Yeah. I suppose that's true. I mean, I would imagine, though, there's some woods in the West that might not be the case.
Yeah.
After driving through Wyoming from city to city and not seeing another headlight for an hour.
Yeah. I think it's an East Coast phenomenon. But, you know, even, like, in New Hampshire, like, I'd go visit my sister and I'd go walk in the woods and I'd be walking and get lost for like 3 hours, and then I'd walk for like an hour in a different direction and hit a road and ask somebody how to get back to where she lived.
Yeah.
So, MK Ultra,
which
is a mind control program from the 50s through the 70s of the CIA and the Army, which most people associate with them giving LSD to soldiers without their knowledge. But it was a lot more than that. LSD was just one component of it. They were looking for all sorts of mind control drugs, you know, including drugs that could protect their own people from mind control, like something that would make you unbrainwashable or able to withstand torture or, you know, and they were looking for things that could make people sick and not productive at work. And they were looking for things that could make it easier to interrogate somebody. And they were looking for things that could make people into a kind of a Manchurian candidate, you know, where they could have someone assassinate somebody and not remember it.
Yeah. And apparently, there was something else called Project Artichoke, which some people say was, you know, more of the real deal. And in a memo, according to Wikipedia, part of the reason for it was this statement. They asked, can we get control of an individual to the point where he will do our bidding against his will and even against fundamental laws of nature, such as self-preservation? So the CIA was actively trying to do things like control people like they were drones, basically.
And then there was Operation Dormouse, which was the cover up plans for Operation Artichoke using Operation MK Ultra. And that was spearheaded by Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld.
So Operation Dormouse was to do what? What was the role?
Operation Dormouse was to like let MK Ultra be outed to divert attention from the bigger program of Operation Artichoke.
I see.
It's complicated,
okay.
Man.
Okay.
We're beyond the looking glass here. People.
So in essence, what that sort of points to is MK Ultra was kind of a sleight of hand then. It was a look over here at this very bad thing. Because we're doing much worse things over here with this other hand. Okay.
And
I used to do that kind of stuff to my parents. Like they'd ask, "What did I do wrong?" Because I was acting suspiciously, and I'd tell them one thing that I did do as a misdirect. Yeah, I smoked a little pot instead of I got trashed
while I was out murdering that kid.
I mean, never anything like that. But you get the point.
Yeah. I think if the government is watching the fiends, they'd let us do what we want to do in an unfettered way. I don't think they're ever going to drone us or even censor us. I think it's because, I mean, I'm saying this because we're such a pulse point for so many other weirdos that they'd leave us alone as an unknowing honeypot and then catalog the bees buzzing around.
Like we're their trap.
We just lose. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, unwilling on our part. I mean, we're no COINTELPRO agents.
No. If we were COINTELPRO agents, we'd have a lot more money.
We would be asking for donations.
If we quit asking for donations and we don't have ads and you ever start seeing lots of ads for the Freedom Fiends and Guns and Weed over on the right on Facebook, then you can worry that we're COINTELPRO agents.
Yeah. Once you see pictures on my Facebook of me driving a Maserati, that's when you'll know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would never sell out for the government, man. They can kiss my hairy sack for all I care.
So did you listen to my latest Anarchy Gumbo interview? Jim Object flips off Stacey Litz from Central America.
No, that was the good one though. I really need to listen to that. You were pimping that a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So the guy's fine.
Well, I had to wait
his name
for him to get to.
Now.
I had to wait for him to get to Senegal or wherever he's going in Africa. And I don't know where he's going. I'm kidding. But
yeah. Well, why that title is a big portion about it. A big portion of the episode, him talking about Stacey Litz?
No. A big portion of the episode is talking about why he was offered a Stacey Litz deal and is somewhere else and didn't take it. That's why it's, he flips her off from Central America. I'll just leave it at that and we'll move on.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast. Freedom Fiends is now available for 24/7 streaming to your iPhone, Android phone, or other chromed robot turd. Click on the streaming audio link on freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Yeah. Did you see this thing about how the U.S. government wants to expand the war on drugs to Africa?
I did not actually see that, other than a quick post. I mean, I read the headline. But, I mean, I kind of feel like they're expanding a lot of things into Africa. I mean, African Command started a year or two ago. I mean, they have boots on the ground in countries. Obviously, the Libya intervention. So what exactly are they doing with drugs now? And
I think it's all about oil. I think it's all about oil and mineral resources in countries that probably aren't as positioned to fight back as much as most of the Middle East.
Yeah, and I think part of the mineral and oil is not just keeping it for ourselves, but also preventing China from having access to it. Like we saw with the Libya thing, where a lot of the companies in there that had contracts were Chinese companies, and they were benefiting a lot. And so after
and Dick Cheney didn't like that because he
not at all
Halliburton.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, after the intervention, well, actually, after the intervention, I believe it was mostly a lot of European companies. That's one of the reasons France and Britain were sort of chomping at the bit to go after Libya. I mean, France has a long and storied history of sort of colonizing northern Africa and raping and pillaging and stealing resources. So this
Who
is
does?
Kind of just them going back to their old ways. France.
Who does?
France, yeah. I mean, they used to massacre people in Algeria and all sorts of horrible things.
Vietnam was owned by France.
Yeah, sure was.
It was called French Indochina.
Yeah, it was. And, I mean, that's part of the reason we intervened is because France was sort of like, well, we don't really have the money to do this anymore. And the American government was like, okay, well, can we have it?
This empire isn't paying off.
Yeah.
Can we take it?
Yeah. It's kind of like a girl you were screwing with, and you're like, I'm done with her.
Like, and your friend asks
she's
you, hey,
free?
Do you mind
to
ask her out? And you're like, yeah, if you think you can have her, if you think she'll have you, go ahead, dude.
Exactly.
Go ahead, America.
America.
Well, apparently, it didn't. Apparently, France was right, because it's not currently called American Indochina.
That's true. It's Vietnam, and they make wonderful sandwiches called banh mi's. I guess that's the only good thing that came out of the French intervention was the banh mi, which is sort of on a – it's almost like a French baguette because they incorporated the style of baking it, but they used rice flour instead of wheat flour. It's one of the most fantastic sandwiches you'll ever eat. That's a big tangent, but if you try one, you'll understand why I mentioned it.
I got one tangent more about the Denver shooting, and then we can move on.
All right.
There's a news item that missed, that nobody covered, that's from Aurora, Colorado, involves guns and happened this year. An armed churchgoer stopped a rampage shooting at a church.
Yep. I sure did see that. You know? And like the shooter was just out of jail. And apparently, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of detail to the reports I read. Did they ever figure out, was he trying to do kind of a mass murder, or did he just have some beef? Was he trying to go back to jail? Did you ever?
The shooter, meaning the crazy guy, not the
crazy
the,
guy, not the,
not
the, guy,
the guy
who
that stopped
saved
him
people
by shooting.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know.
No, no.
I just thought it was neat, man. Aurora, Colorado. It's not my job. I don't have time. I don't have time to keep up on all these details, man. That's pretty much the Fiends. We just read a bunch of headlines and say, dude, that is so square, or that is so cool. And then check out our other media and buy our shit, man, and give us donations.
Yeah.
But we don't remember where to give the donations, but you can give them.
One of the details that I thought was interesting was, and should have made it have more of a press appeal, I would think, is the guy who shot the crazy shooter, the guy who was just out of jail, the guy who sort of saved people, was an off-duty cop who happened to go to that church. And he sort of put an end to it.
That's interesting that they didn't make it a big news thing,
yeah,
because it was a guy from the state, although he was acting in a private capacity at the time. So that's why. If he'd been active duty, it would have been news.
Right. Yeah, if somehow the church had a deal with the cops to where the cops would patrol the area and that cop had shot the guy, yeah, it'd be all over the place.
Yep. Yeah, I looked at the Freedom Fiend site. There's a link at the top that says donate. You can click there, and then there's another link to click to go directly to the donate thing. And you can give a straight-up PayPal donation, or you can do a – we sort of have an app-type program like LRN where you can make it set up to do a PayPal monthly donation of $5 a month, $10 a month, $15, $20, $35, et cetera. So far, one person is doing that, so we would like more.
Sweet. Maybe we should come up with some other kind of benefit for people who do the regular monthly donations, because I think LRN gives people access to the podcast without ads. So that's one of the ways they get amp people. So we could do that, or maybe unedited, although we don't want to do too much work. But maybe just without ads.
How about just they get their name on the golden floppy disk of redemption, and when I become the king of the libertarian world, I will not have them dragged off and ground into cat food like other statists.
Okay.
Boy, I just insulted everyone, including our listeners and other people. yes. I will allow them to be free rather than enslave them, because their name appears on the golden floppy disk of redemption.
Yeah. We'll figure something out. Something better than golden. Although golden floppy disk of redemption, that's an amazing thing. So you're getting a lot there, but we'll figure out another extra little benefit there. Just give us a little time for that. We got to discuss it off air. Yes, sir. Did you see that the Marines have restarted their police battalions? Did you read about that, Michael?
Yeah. I feel safer already. How about you?
Yeah.
It's weird with the timing of the upcoming UN gun thing, too. Now, explain what this is. Is this for domestic use, or that's just where it'll end up being used?
I think that's where it'll end up being used. I mean, it's an AP. Associated Press did a write-up on it. So they're completely uncritical of this. They just sort of extol the virtues of it. And mostly what they say they'll be doing, in the AP article at least, is tracking criminal networks, doing investigative work in places like Iraq and Afghanistan, or wherever the United States has military presence. The thing is, it's just so easy for them to have something like this and move it domestically. I mean, for example, the Army has activated troops to be on standby for the conventions, the Democratic and the Republican Party convention. That was another thing I thought was related.
Ugh.
And apparently they've been doing things like this. Like, I don't know if they actually go out there and goon it up. Well, maybe they did in 68. I mean, wasn't there a big riot at the Democratic National Convention?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
I think the
National
Guard.
But that was Chicago City Police and then the National Guard. But it was the Chicago City Police that started busting heads.
Right, but the National Guard was involved in it, though. They were gooning it up, too.
Goon it up. Doom, doom. Goon it up. Doom, doom. You should do a funk song, man.
Yeah, I should. Here's the thing, though, that scared me about this AP article, both for how the Associated Press glorifies the state and for the mentality of the Marine police officers. Because there already are military police. They, like, police the military. They're the watchers who watch the watchers, kind of thing. But one of the guys who's the spokesman says of the military police and the Marine police battalions, he says they're very comfortable with the escalation of force. MPs get that. It's fundamental to what we do. So doesn't that make you feel safer that there are these guys out there that are so comfortable with escalation of force? Yay!
Yeah, that line really stood out to me. One of our fiend fans said that, Chris Ray Holly said, "So I assume they are to be referred to as Team America at all times." Fuck yeah!
F yeah. Yeah, I suppose so. Team America. Ugh. Makes me sick, man. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep.
I said where the donation link is. We never talk about that. I just, you know,
it's been a while.
It's been like a year, and, you know, we could use some money. Give us money, bitches.
Money.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think, Free Talk Live takes in a lot of money in $3 and $5 amounts per month.
Yeah. We could do that too. Yeah,
we should too. We have one person doing that. One guy gives $5 a month, and he's Canadian.
And we really appreciate it. And he's awesome. Thank you so much.
And he's Canadian. So you Americans, if you want to keep up with our neighbors to the north with America's hat, get on it.
Yeah.
So who really good documentary I want to recommend. It's about sampling. It's called Copyright Criminals. It's great. It's not really calling them criminals. It's saying they're cool. It's got a couple of people in there that think they're criminals, like some square lawyer. It's also got Steve Albini, who's in my DIY or Die DVD, and he engineered a Nirvana record, and he's supposed to be really hip, and he's a dick about it. He's like, yeah, man, sampling, that's not creative at all. That's stealing. But
oh, really?
At the end, I kind of like this. He said, do I think sampling is a good thing? No, I think it's a really bad thing. Do I think the government should be involved? No, they're involved in too much stuff already.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's great sentiment, man. I can definitely respect that. I disagree with him totally. I think you can totally sample creatively.
Well, that shows, I mean, that's kind of the definition of a real libertarian.
Yeah,
is someone
totally.
Who believes that something that's completely repulsive to them shouldn't be illegal.
Right. Like in the Futurama when Zoidberg eats the flag and there's the the gay polygamist with no arms that says, I disagree with it, but I'll lose a limb to defend your right to eat that flag.
To eat that flag.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. We're working very hard to spend your tax money to keep you from hearing things like freedomfiends.com. That's why we're very upset about freedomfiends.cz. Freedomfiends.cz is a Liberty Media archive of Freedom Fiends material hosted in the Czech Republic. Freedomfiends.cz is outside the jurisdiction of the Watchers, who employ me, the Central Scrutinizer, to keep you from hearing things that might make you think. My fellow scrutinizers and I do not want you to visit freedomfiends.cz. Do not visit freedomfiends.cz.
You read this article, Who Really Invented the Internet?
No, I saw the headline, though. So basically, it was sort of a debunking of the myth that it was sort of military government people that started it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it basically said that, you know, more credit goes to Xerox, Xerox and Vincent Cerf, who invented TCP/IP, and Tim Berners-Lee, who invented the web. You know, and that thing about Xerox, I kind of forgot about that. I think we talked at one point about, there's this video online called, like, it's the Park Xerox demonstration. It's called the Mother of All Demos. And I will post that. And it's basically the guy who invented the mouse, Douglas Engelbart, giving a demonstration in, like, 1968 or something. And he's demonstrating, like, networking, you know, graphical user interfaces, like everything that happens now, really. It's pretty awesome.
And how long ago was it?
It was in 1968, and I'm going to link
really?
This. There's 9 YouTube videos. It's total of about an hour.
Amazing.
It's a 90-minute altogether. Yeah.
So, yeah.
He demonstrated the mouse, Hypertext, object addressing, dynamic file linking, shared screen collaboration involving two people at different sites, communicating over network with audio and video interface.
And this is a guy who got his paycheck from voluntary customers, not from taxpayers, not from tax slaves, correct?
Right, right.
Yep, yep. Well, there you have it. I mean, I guess that sort of seems obvious and intuitive to me that people say, yeah, the government invented the internet. Well, maybe they had some role in it, but I never really imagined that they were actually the ones to invent it. It was obviously people who took the ball and ran with it that did most of the work, people who were getting paid and profited from it.
Actually, Park Xerox threw away a lot of his stuff, too. Like,
did they?
Yeah, like the mouse and the graphical user interface, they didn't see any use for it. And Steve Jobs came along and said, oh, that's in your virtual dumpster. Can I have it? And they said, yeah.
Excellent. Excellent.
That's a fact. You know, and I mean, that's one of the things where people criticize Steve Jobs a lot, because he was mad at Bill Gates for supposedly ripping off the graphical user interface. But Steve Jobs had gotten it for free from Park Xerox. He didn't invent it.
Right, right. Yeah, and that's one of the reasons that also demonstrates how silly IP can be. I mean, these geniuses, they took these ideas and they improved upon them because the company that the other genius worked for didn't take it and run with it. I mean, imagine if somehow, for some reason, there was a law against doing that, or there was some kind of patent on it to where they couldn't do that, or Xerox wanted to be a dick about it and had the force of the law behind them. Luckily, those didn't happen, and we're all benefiting because of this sharing of innovation.
Yep.
And, whereas when the government's involved in anything, they do things like keep your garage doors from opening. Did you read about that in Connecticut?
Yeah, the Navy is accidentally or intentionally making everyone's garage door open in some neighborhood.
Yeah, and I guess what struck me was, because CBS did a write-up, it was a local CBS affiliate, how unapologetic the guy from Homeland Security is. He was just like, yeah, so what? Live with it, basically. His name was Chris Zenden from the submarine base, and this was his quote. He says, because garage door openers are unlicensed devices, they are not offered any protection from interference by licensed users in the same frequency, and in fact are required by federal law to accept interference from licensed users.
Well, that's sort of true, but it's also, if you have a device that's interfering with garage door openers, the FCC will crack down on you hard.
I imagine, unless it's the government, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
you know what? Actually, I remember hearing somewhere about some nanny cops in some town that were arresting people if their garage door was open. And that was one of the things that the nanny guy that shot the black kid in Florida, what's his name, Zimmerman?
Zimmerman.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the many things that he called the police about over the years was people leaving their garage doors open.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah, they have a hard-on for that kind of thing. In Washington, in our town, one of the towns, because it was the Tri-Cities, in Kennewick, I believe it was, the police department, I don't know if they actually went through with this, but it was their plan to start ticketing people who left their keys in their ignition to, you know, warm up their car in the wintertime. Because it had happened a couple times where teenagers would go and steal the cars for a joyride. So the cops actually, to crack down on that, they thought it'd be a good idea to drive around and ticket people who were warming up their cars without actually being in their cars. So that sort of reminds me of the same kind of mentality, like, we will punish you if you don't do the right thing to protect yourself.
We will punish you if you make us have to do work. That takes away from us busting nonviolent people for nonviolent things.
Yeah, exactly.
Where there's no victim.
Cutting into my donut time, y'all.
There was actually a like nanny citizens group in Los Angeles that was kind of doing that too, and imitating the government with it. I used to have this really, well, I think it was a bitchin' car. Most people think it was a piece of junk. I had a 66 Plymouth Barracuda.
Nice. Which I think that's a bitchin' really, car.
What's that?
I think it's a bitchin' car.
Yeah, it got about 7 miles to the gallon. But, I mean, it was It was so heavy, it made your Cadillac look like a Vespa or something, man. It was a big hunk of steel from the 60s, and it was kind of a grandma muscle car. It was a 286, I think the engine was slant eight. Huh. But it was a kind of a monster. It kind of looked like the Batmobile. I mean, it had big fins on the back, big bubble back window.
Did it have that giant spoiler that's like 3 feet tall kind of thing?
Giant what?
The giant spoiler in the back.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. And it's, and it had, and I painted it primer black, flat black.
Nice.
It was spooky looking.
Isn't that what Joe Dirt drove in that movie with David
possibly.
Spade as the hick?
I don't know. It's one of the rarest Detroit production models ever made. There were like 20,000 made of it or something, which is not much for.
Nah.
The 67 Barracuda is really common. I mean, for a rare muscle car, and that's the really coveted one. It looks more like a Mustang, and they kind of like toned the fins down and took some of the curve out of the window. But the window wouldn't fully close on it. You know, I could get it almost closed, and it was like, but more so, I generally left the windows down if it wasn't going to rain, because all the glass in it would have cost so much to replace. I would rather have someone reach in, and there was nothing to steal in it, and I had a, you know, steering wheel lock on it. I would rather have someone reach in and steal the change out of my ashtray than break a window to do it.
Yeah.
So I was in downtown LA, like, you know, 7th and not Spring. It was away from Skid Row. It wasn't Spring. It was like 7th and, I don't know. It was in the financial district. I was getting copies made. What, DJ? Nah, what's the main one? It doesn't matter. and I was parked in the financial district in LA for about an hour. And I came back, and there was a ticket on my windshield. And I was like, ah, fick. And I looked at the ticket, and it wasn't a ticket. It looked like a ticket, but it was from some citizens group saying, and it had, like, things to check off. And they checked off, like, window left unrolled down, security issue, you know, like a danger of theft.
Wow.
And it was like, you know, some nanny-named group, like, Citizens for Safer Streets in Los Angeles downtown area. Or some, it was some acronym that spelled, like, you know, nanny bitch or something. I don't know what it's spelled, but
well, I guess I commend them for being a voluntary organization and not petitioning the government to do that job for them. But I kind of
feel imitating
like
the government. You know,
yeah.
Exactly. If they put a note, if they had like a flyer and it didn't look like a ticket, this looked like a ticket.
Ah,
you know, it's good.
They were mimicking the fear mongering of the state.
Right, right. Yeah. So you walk up and you have the fear of like, okay, I'm going to owe $72 or whatever it is to park downtown illegally.
It's like the South Park episode where they all drive hybrids and Kyle's dad is out issuing tickets to gas guzzlers.
Yeah.
And it's what makes him decide to move to San Francisco so he can smell his own farts with the like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty funny.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast. Freedom Fiends is now available for 24/7 streaming to your iPhone, Android phone, or other chromed robot turd. Click on the streaming audio link on freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFiends.com.
The thing about these garage door openers is it kind of, I guess it was relevant for me for another reason. We've been futzing around with our Wi-Fi routers, and my brother-in-law was looking on the back of his router, because we had two routers, and we were trying to figure out which one works best. And on the back, it does have FCC rules on the back of the wireless router. And one of them is this router must accept interference from any other device. I'm trying to bud the anarchism in his mind, and he immediately jumped to, oh, so the government can shut this down if they want to, which is kind of what it means.
Well, they can, but that's unrelated to that.
But
the government can shut down anything they want, anytime they want, for no reason, with no warrant, pretty much. But that thing about interference is old and goes back to like old devices that predate the nanny, we want to control everything kind of attitude about, you know, the overreaching government. It was that stuff was on equipment when there was a government, you could have drowned in a bathtub.
Well, why didn't somebody drown it in a damn bathtub then?
Because they trusted it to only protect them. They believed the hype. They went to government schools. They listened to government TV. They read government-controlled newspapers.
Well, it's still enforced by the FCC, so I still think it's statist. And I just thought it was funny how we've sort of gone from shall not be infringed to must accept interference. I know it's a different statute, but it's just those two phrases are so opposite. Shall not be infringed to must accept interference. And I kind of feel like we must accept interference in other ways in our lives too, and that's sort of the status
quo. They'll start requiring that to be printed on the side of the gun. Must accept infringement. The owner of this device must accept infringement. Well, you know, most government guns say property of U.S. government on the side of them. You know, they'd like it if even privately owned guns said that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they'd like it if there were no privately owned guns vis-a-vis Mike Bloomberg.
Yeah. Yeah. F that guy. The electronic police state. That's a term we haven't talked about. I used that line in the ad I made for
VPN.
The virtual private network. Yeah. Have you tried that yet?
I've got it. Well, I don't have it set up. I'm going to go through the tutorial pretty soon here. But I did get myself an account, and I've got it, I guess, cleared to be free. But I haven't used it to browse or surf yet. But I will, because I'm going to play with it for a week. You've been playing with it for about a month now, haven't you? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to play with it for about a week, and then we'll do a review of it.
I think we only have it another week.
Okay, so I'll do it this week.
I asked him to give us an extra month, but there you go.
But yes.
Hey, DJ. Why don't you come tell your postal inspector story from Pasadena, from Dictaphone? Do you want to tell it, or you want me to tell it? All right, I'll tell it. DJ used to work for Dictaphone, which is the company that made those little handheld recorders that you'd use to take notes on, and... what she did a lot was install stuff for offices where, you know, someone would take dictation or give dictation, and then the secretary would use this foot pedal controlled thing that they made to stop it and start it so she could type it into whatever they needed to. And a lot of the clients were governments. She one time had to go train a few postal inspectors, and it was at the to use Dictaphone's equipment. And it was at In what year was this, DJ? She's not thinking too fast today. Okay. This is about 20 years ago, let's say, because it was before she was a paralegal. She's been a paralegal for 18 years. So about 20 years ago. It was in Pasadena, California, at the Pasadena Post Office, it looks like something built by the Vatican. It's one of those beautiful government buildings in the world, expensive government buildings in the world. Because Pasadena was like, it was the out town of LA in early LA. It was the first like built up rich community outside LA where people commuted from to early Hollywood. Okay. And this postal inspector pulled out his gun like in the holster. It was in the holster, right? No, it was not. Pulled out the gun, set it on the table and said, "How long is this going to take?"
What?
This training that he was required to take. He took out his gun, set it on the table, and said, "How long is this going to take?" And DJ said, "It'll go a lot faster if you put that away."
Wow. How weird. Why?
Yep.
What would possess somebody to do that?
I know. Like, my boss told me I had to be here and listen to you talk.
I'm going to show you my gun.
Threatening you with gun... Threatening you with violence to speed it up.
At least he was honest about it, right? He literally showed them the gun in the room.
He showed the gun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I still say anybody that sets a gun on a table to intimidate someone is a effing idiot, because you're handing a gun to somebody threatening them. They could grab it. They could be a gun grabber.
Seriously. Well, okay. What was...
Not that she would.
Does DJ feel like this was a threatening action? Because, I mean, I never really do this in public.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because sometimes, you know, I'm at home and I sit down and I take my gun out of my holster and I sort of set it next to me. Like it's kind of like taking your shoes off. You know, I'll just unload my gun.
No. And who's there? Your wife, who's comfortable with you owning a gun. You'd never threaten her with it. No, this was a threat. This was, "I'm going to shoot you if you don't speed it up." Which he probably, you know, it was probably an empty threat. He probably really wasn't going to shoot her, but he was basically saying, "I'm an armed man. Do my bidding, wench. I have government guns behind me." It is. So did you see this guy that was jailed in the UK for non-standard
browser?
Yeah,
that was insane to me. Like, apparently, I mean, all these things I see out of the UK just, like, blow my mind. And I just worry that it's coming here next. But what in their minds, in their statist minds, justifies something like this? I just don't understand it.
Yeah, the guy was using an unusual browser. It's called Lynx, which actually predates the web. It's a text-only browser. And pretty much no one uses it anymore except blind people, because you can hook up a text-to-speech synthesizer to it. So blind people use it to surf the web. And he was using it. I don't know that he was blind.
Yeah.
I think
I figured he was a nerd.
I remember the internet back in 19... Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, he was like people who want to surf the web the way it looked before it was the web in like 1990 when it was just text FTP stuff. And he was using Lynx, LYNX, and trying to make a donation to some charity. And British Telecom, who have a monopoly. It's the government owns the phone system there. And also, they're not the only ISP, but they're one of the major ISPs.
They're
kind of
like the telecom version of BBC in England.
Yeah. The weird thing is there, you pay your phone bill at the post office.
Okay. Because it's a monopoly, just like the post office. Yeah.
Yeah. But someone, one of their stupid nerds working at British Telecom noticed, you know, that Lynx was being used to access this site and thought it was a hack attempt. And they sent goons with guns over to his house who arrested him. Even after they realized what it was, they're still going through with sending him to court. Which is something that happens more and more here, too, where the cops find out that they know they're in the wrong, but they press forward, regardless of the bad press they're going to get, to try to save face in some sick way.
I also think it's a chilling effect thing, too. They want to be like, well, it doesn't matter. We have this power. So don't even pretend to act any differently than anybody else does in the world. Don't do anything unusual, because you could risk going to prison.
This story would make more sense if British Telecom had their own browser they wanted people to use. In Soviet England, internet browses you.
Exactly.
One more reason to use it.
Yeah.
One more
reason to use a VPN. They consider that? Would they be able to call that, you know, unusual activity in England at least, and worry it might maybe a hack attempt?
Maybe. I don't know. With a VPN, though, I think it's pretty hard for them to see what you're doing.
Is it also hard for them to figure out where you're at? Because that's the other thing. I mean, they notice this guy and then they just immediately dispatched goons to his house.
Well, yeah, they'd be dispatching goons to someone in Canada or Luxembourg.
Right, because of the VPN. They don't really get a good signal. They can't really get a bead on where you're at.
Yep. Here's another interesting internet thing. I had a U.S. Wikipedia article about me that other people wrote that was up for about 5 years, and it got challenged as non-notable.
Probably because of the lefty statist at Wikipedia editing.
Yeah. Like, once I really got into guns, it got removed. But suddenly, I have a Wikipedia page on the Italian version of Wikipedia. It's really short. It's a start. I don't know who did it. And it basically just lists me. It doesn't say anything about podcasting or radio. It says that I'm a filmmaker, screenwriter.
And it's got your filmography on it. Yeah.
Do music for films. Yeah, it lists my four films on it. That's it. Europeans appreciate artists, I guess.
Yeah. I think.
And they're probably like, well, of course he's into guns. He is an American. They all like guns.
I wish that were true. I wish we all just carried our shotguns on our back and our pistols on our hips all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. Go, go, freedom fiends. Freedom fiends. Helping the helpless. Freedom fiends. Saving the universe. Freedom fiends. Doing the things that I've taken. Taking the world from the state. Fighting the forces of hate. rolls.
Yo.
Yo.
So, Nima, do you see that picture of the two traditional Iranian guys in the head garb who look like mullahs with two turntables and a microphone? And it was a caption contest.
I saw that, and I was like, that's racist.
Yeah, it was funny. A lot of the comments people came up with were like terrorist crap, like two turntables in an RPG, which is kind of funny. But
They were funny. I
tended away from that. I said, here's number 7 on our countdown of dance hits you are forbidden to dance to.
Also racist, but funny enough to bypass any kind of offense
racist, but based on some actual
Yeah. Although these guys, apparently you did some research, and they're actually an atheist group in Iran, right?
The picture was posted by an atheist group in Iran. That's not a photo of the atheist group in Iran.
Okay. That's why I was confused, because they're actually wearing, traditional Muslim headdresses. In fact, one of the guys is wearing a black headdress, and I think that means that he is...
directly descended from...
Yeah. They say you have some direct descendant of Muhammad, I think, when you wear the black one. It's a Shiite thing. It's been a while since I've learned about that. And again, my Iranian family's not very religious. Although, my uncle, Muhammad, he actually... When I was visiting Utah, I was making barbecue, and I made these delicious... pork ribs, and he was eating them, and he's like, oh, these beef ribs are so good. And I'm like, those are pork ribs. And he's like, well, they look like beef ribs. And I'm like, okay, for your purposes, they can be beef ribs. And he's like, okay. And he just kept eating them. And I'm like, are you religious now? And apparently, yeah, he goes to mosque now because of his wife. So
he doesn't sound very traditional to me.
No.
What do you think a traditional Muslim would do if he discovered he was accidentally eating pork? Vomit?
No, I don't think they'd vomit. I think they'd just
stop. I mean, who knows? But,
it depends on how zealous they are. I mean... My wife's a vegetarian, so she can't eat any meat. And when she discovers she's eating meat or actually accidentally gets a chunk of chicken in her cheese enchilada at a Mexican restaurant or whatever, she'll just move it to the side. If she decides it's like, you know, an anomaly, like it was just a mistake, she'll continue eating. If not, if like it's just rife with it, she'll go take it to the counter and ask for, you know, a new plate or whatever. So I would imagine... Yeah. You know, if they were in our culture, if they were here, you know, trying to blend in or whatever, or with friends that weren't Muslim and got a hold of something like that, they would probably do something similar to where they just stop eating it. But my uncle Muhammad, he was like, no, I'm like, he ate all the damn pork ribs on the barbecue. They were just that good.
I love that you have an uncle Muhammad. My uncle Muhammad, that's something that's never come out of my mouth.
Yeah. Well, my other uncle is Mahmoud, like Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Although he's the most redneck of any of my Persian uncles. He's a welder. He works with a bunch of other, redneck kind of white dudes in Utah, in West Valley. So that's sort of like the redneck ghetto trailer park kind of area. And he has everybody call him Mac. Because nobody can pronounce Mahmoud. So he's Mac to all the white friends.
I saw a pickup truck here in Casper the other day that said, on the front, people will like get those transfer letters that say stuff and put it across the top of the windshield as a sunscreen.
Yeah.
It said Mexican redneck.
Huh. Okay.
That's pretty bold for anywhere, but especially here. You know, in California, that would get your cars keyed for... probably by a Mexican person for being redneck, and here it might get your car's keyed by a redneck for being Mexican.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I have an uncle who actually he's not an uncle, he's a second cousin, and his kids call him the Persian redneck. He doesn't ascribe that to himself, but his kids call him the Persian redneck. It's mostly just because he's a hunter, though, but I think it's misplaced because he's like super rich, so he goes to like Africa and like hunts like elephant and stuff like that, like giant beasts in Africa, kind of like Boston. So I don't think that's really redneck.
I don't know that
that's
you have to be super kind of rich to do. You don't have to be super rich to do that. You have to have some money. I mean, it's
right.
Like,
but he is super, you know, rich probably, and does it, do it. So
it probably doesn't cost that much more from reading Boston's hunting book. You know, it can cost a lot, but to do it, you know, not the cheapest, but not the most expensive. I mean, it's probably about like going to Hawaii and staying in a really nice hotel.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, it's just about your priorities, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's the thing, man. Don't be racist against people because they're from the Middle East or whatever, because they like to shoot things and drink beer and call themselves Mac, and we're all just people, man. Relax.
Yeah. So I don't know if you heard about this or not, and Free Talk Live did about a half hour on it yesterday, so I don't want to go into it a lot, and I don't want to look at it because they described it, but so I guess the Silk Road, a lot of people got really upset because people were selling weapons on there. So Silk Road let some people use their technology to branch off and have a weapons-only place called The Armory that's run like Silk Road.
Ah, oh, that's kind of cool. I think I was mentioning that when we were first talking about Silk Road, when it sort of first came to everybody's attention. I was hoping for something that would be specific to weapons so that you could sort of bypass doing an FFL transfer, so to speak. Have you checked it out?
Of course, we don't recommend ever doing that.
We don't recommend breaking law, but have you checked it out?
I didn't check it out because it's a bunch of hoops to jump through to use Tor and go on something like that and set up an account to look at it. And Ian already did it, and he said right now they have one weapon on there and then like a bottle of chloroform.
A bottle of chloroform. Okay. Somebody on Facebook was trying to advise me to do a private sale instead of shopping around the local shops to get guns. I forget.
It was probably the government telling you that. But, you know, the private sales are legal in a lot of states. I don't know about Texas. They're certainly legal here. I sold a weapon to my state rep. Which nice. Doesn't mean it's legal. I'm sure that there are state reps somewhere who would break the law. But, you know.
I don't see how are private sales illegal anywhere? Are there places that they actually are illegal?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. California, Massachusetts, all those kind of states, you could go to prison for selling a gun and not doing it through a store.
Can you trade a gun? Like, could I be like, well, I'll give you this gun if you rub my back?
No, here's how I know that. I was in a gun store in California when this guy came in. He was a black guy. He was probably about 50. He's probably about 60, and he looked really square, really, you know, law-abiding citizen kind of guy. And he had a shotgun, and he wanted some work done on it, and he wanted to buy a case for it.
Okay.
And I was in there looking at other guns while he was talking to the guy behind the counter, and he's like, oh, this is a sweet old shotgun. Where'd you get it? And he said, oh, my dad was dying, and he gave it to me. Before he died, you know, didn't even put it in the will, just handed it to me and said, you know, I want you to have this.
Yeah.
And the guy behind the counter said, you know, that's illegal.
What?
You know, he said this is an illegally possessed and purchased gun and I can't work on it.
So not only not trading, not selling, but your dad can't give you his.
Your dying father can't legally give you a gun in California.
Wow. That's one of the worst things I've ever heard.
I know.
That just boggles my mind how the state can think it's okay. Well, not just how the state can think it's okay, but how there are people that think it's okay for the state to interject themselves into people's lives
people,
like that.
We've decided, because Ben Quaker told us so, that that the state
is in people's minds.
People.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
exactly.
You know, when they say the government is of the people, that's not really true because the government does whatever it wants to, but the state is of the people. The state that props up the government is the people. The statism is the people.
Which is another reason why, you know, talking about violent revolution or shooting the government people isn't what we're going for, obviously, because the state really does exist in people's minds. It's if you can convince enough people that it's just BS, that it's completely immoral and illegitimate to give a group of people all the guns, all the weapons, and the power to steal your money.
We're certainly not encouraging you to shoot the people.
No, not at all. We're encouraging you to anti-brainwash, to educate people, to make them take off this status dunce cap and realize what the real world works like.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast. Freedom Fiends is now available for 24/7 streaming to your iPhone, Android phone, or other chromed robot turd. Click on the streaming audio link on freedomfiends.com. That's FREEDOMFIENS.com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a really, really excellent Ben Stone Bad Quaker podcast up. It was yesterday's current one, but go look for the one called it's about the great man theory. Let me see if that's what it's called.
Ah, okay. He's talked about that before. I think in reference to the whole Ron Paul thing, like not the idea of not trying to look for people to follow or try to ascribe superhuman powers to somebody like people do to Chuck Norris as a joke, but really focus on the ideas and the logic and the theories, not necessarily the personality.
It's called Reject the Great Man, Embrace Liberty. It's episode 174 at badquaker.com, which I was like, why isn't his site coming up? And I realized I'd typed benquaker.com.
Which is what you call him as a joke, but I guess it's leaked into real life.
It did. Yeah, but his whole thing is like, you know, if you admit that that putting the state first is kicking God off the throne, which works even if you're an atheist. I mean, if you're an atheist, it means you're making a god out of the state.
Yeah.
You don't want any gods, you say, if you're an atheist. But a lot of people that even do that still have a great man theory. Like, you know, they get a boner. They're Obama humpers or Lincoln lickers or founding father lickers or, you know. And basically that is the theory that God sent these people down to push history in the direction he wanted. And if you embrace that theory, you're also embracing the theory that Hitler was created by God and put here for a reason, you know?
Because you're embracing the theory that some people are exceptional and have the right to make decisions for other people.
Yeah.
Due to their amazing traits or, their God-given so – it's sort of like divine right, right? I mean, the king is in power because God made it that way.
Well, that's where it evolves from. It evolves from that. That is where the great man theory came from. It was, you know – deific humans from the church.
Right. Which is dangerous and anti-liberty. There was this book that people were passing around in Casper. They did like a tea party kind of thing out at the little park in front of the hospital. And there's this group of people.
You talking about the Citizen's Guide?
No.
Citizen's Hand Guidebook?
No, not that one. It's called The 5,000-Year Leap. And it sort of draws parallels between like the
Glenn
Bible
Beck
being in a
likes that.
Oh, does he? Okay. But that kind of book really deifies the founding fathers and almost sort of makes, I mean, I didn't read the whole thing, but I kind of got the feeling like it was saying, well, the founding fathers and the Constitution are almost like a New Testament kind of thing. Like this is God's
by
will.
It. I remember that.
I really was. Weren't I really you? Was. Yeah. And one of the ladies that was passing it out, what was she at? This is what it was. The city council, or maybe it was the county commissioners, were debating whether or not to renew a liquor license for a strip club in town. I think it was like the only strip club in town or gentleman's club or whatever. I think it's called Cowboys. And
yeah, I've seen pictures of their site. It looks filthy, man.
Does it? I bet it is.
Bunch of white trash, trailer trash, blonde chicks doing filthy, filthy, filthy things.
Yeah. But there was
not my style, but I'd give them a license.
Right. But there was this woman there who was actively protesting against the liquor license getting renewed. And she was going on and on about how we can't have this in our society and they shouldn't have the right to sell liquor or have women there taking off their clothes. And then she was trying to quote Jefferson and trying to say the founding fathers would be against this. And it just like it made my head cock to the side like Kyle in South Park. And I was like, really? And
Ben Franklin would certainly not be against it.
I know, right?
I think Jefferson wouldn't like it because I didn't see any black chicks working there.
Yeah.
He'd be
yeah.
like, I don't need that. I just sit here and make my slave. Dance, slaves, dance.
He'd be going to sidelines to look for the death races.
Did you know that speaking of horrible people that people think are a great man, Romney, the company that he used to own a lot of, Bain Capital.
Also owns Clear Channel.
Okay. owns Clear Channel. Not only Clear Channel, they own AMC Entertainment, you know, the theaters, Aspen Entertainment Group, Brookstone, Burger King, Burlington Coat Factory, Clear Channel Communications, which owns most of the radio and a lot of the TV and newspapers in the country, and billboards, Domino's Pizza, Double Click Advertisement, Dunkin' Donuts, D&M Holdings, Guitar Center. This equipment we're talking on put some pennies in Romney's fucking hands.
Well, I used to work for Domino's in college, too, so I was kind of working for Romney.
The Hospital Corporation of America, which owns a lot of hospitals, Sealy Mattresses, Staples, Toys R Us, Warner Music, and the Weather Channel.
Wow.
Romney, man. He understands the common man's struggle.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, I knew the Clear Channel thing because somebody was posting memes about how, you know, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, you know, all technically, in a way, work.
Glenn Beck.
Yeah, Glenn Beck. Yeah. Although, I guess Glenn Beck not anymore, right? Since he's doing GBTV instead of working for Fox News, which I don't imagine Clear Channel owns them. Or maybe they do.
They probably do. I was just kind of horrified at, like, wow, man, this guy really is one of the, like, the men behind the curtain who own everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, did you see the new Breaking Bad?
You gotta vote for him, man, or else Obama will get reelected.
Who's owned by the banks and Wall Street and GE?
Yeah,
they're all owned by GE. Every president is owned by GE, and they run the war machine. So there you go. Yep. They bring good things to death.
Yep.
Oh wait, they
bring good things to death. That's great. You need to create a meme for that. That's great. Does it already exist?
Well, someone else can do it. I got shit to do.
All right. Fair enough.
I got shit to do.
Yeah.
But, so I think this would be a good place as any to taper off here.
Okay. Okay.
Help Fiend's withdrawal for another moment.
Okay.
What do you think?
We'll pull and pray. Do you have any
pull and pray?
You have any happy notes to end it on, Mike? I guess that's a happy note.
Yeah.
Pull and
fuck
pray.
The man.
Fuck the man. All right. Just don't come.
Worms.
Peace.
Hello, freedom fiends. It's your boy Dean from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I owe me and that includes endorphins. No one won't ask permission and I won't say please. Freedom fans, one fact that I gotta make clear.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Every week, we'll have an exciting new episode where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadati weave their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them.